This is Suno India Production. You can now listen to all our episodes on our Android and iPhone app. Download it now.
This story was supported by the Pulitzer Center. Like any other government hospital, the District Women's Hospital in Akola was packed with women of all ages. It was nearly 40 degrees outside. That June afternoon, I met a young girl here. I will call her Pinky. She was under 18 and Pinky was very shy, thin and frail. This high school student was from a village in Akola district. When she had stomach aches and missed periods, she went to the local clinic. She asked for medicines, but the doctors referred her to the District Women's Hospital. After tests, the staff at the Akola hospital found out that Pinky was pregnant. Pregnant for 4 months. The staff at ward number 7, which is actually the one-stop center for Akola district, told me that Pinky was terrified and refused to speak to anyone in the hospital. One-stop centers are special centers at the district level and are created to help girls and women who are facing gender violence. For 2 days, the doctors and psychologists from the center counseled Pinky. She finally confided in them. She told them that she was repeatedly assaulted sexually by a person known to her. I am Mahima Jain, reporting for this episode of the Suno India Show. We will talk about how the health system, be it hospitals or different kinds of health workers, can help women who are survivors of violence. Doctors, nurses and other healthcare providers are often the first point of contact for survivors of gender-based violence. And gender-based violence is now seen as a public health issue. Millions of women in India and across the world suffer grievous injuries because of such violence. This violence can take many forms. Apart from physical and sexual violence, there is also economic, mental and psychological abuse which women might face. In India, close to 29.3% of married women between the ages of 18 and 49 have experienced domestic or sexual violence. 8 cases of crimes against women were reported every 10 minutes in 2022, and almost a third of these cases were of domestic abuse, according to the National Crime Records Bureau. In 2012, after 23-year-old Jyoti Singh was gang-raped and left to die in Delhi, the country was rocked by protests. The public was angry and they wanted change. How could we make the country safer and livable for half of its population, women? The people and policymakers responded with the demand for stricter laws and harsher punishments. But experts I spoke to said, responding to violence against women as a criminal justice issue is not enough. This focuses on perpetrators without any focus on the needs of the women. And one of the ways in which women's needs could be addressed is by treating gender-based violence as a public health issue. Even after a decade, India's health ministry hasn't introduced or enforced a clear and comprehensive protocol on how to treat or help survivors of gender-based violence. There are no guidelines for hospitals on how to treat survivors of violence, how to identify them, how to refer them to other services. India also lacks programs that provide gender sensitization training to health workers. There is little to no mention of this in the medical school curriculum, and no budgets to strengthen the health system to respond to such cases either. I spoke to Sanjida Arora, a research officer at the Center for Inquiry into Health and Allied Themes, or SEHAT.
Response to the GBV should be a multi-sectoral response, where the criminal justice system, health, and the other, police, the other support services should gear up to respond to GBV. It can't be the responsibility of one sector. And within the multi-sectoral response, the health has an important role to play. One thing I said that we need to look it as a public health problem.
Here, let me share the experience of another woman I met while reporting for this story. Let's call her Rani. I met Rani at the Radhanpur Sub-District Hospital in Gujarat's Patan district. Rani is an ASHA worker and takes care of her 3 children. She was married to a man who used to routinely abuse her. There were verbal and physical fights, and he used to use up all his money on alcohol. As part of her job as an ASHA worker, Rani was required to wake up in the middle of the night to help pregnant women to get to the hospital. But her husband was suspicious of her and felt that she was cheating on him. The fits of drunken rage and beatings increased. Rani's husband beat her in public, in markets, in her house, in front of her family and children. But this was over 10 years ago. Rani suffered for nearly a decade before going to the police. I asked her why she couldn't go to the police earlier. When I spoke to Rani, she said we could record her interview and share her story, but she wasn't comfortable with us using her audio. So here are her words in another voice.
No matter how much a girl suffers, she shouldn't go to the police. That is what I used to think. What can a woman do? Even if she goes to the police, she won't have much support.
Sanjida Arora explains.
We have seen in case of violence against women that the, you know, women takes a, you know, quite some time to decide whether she wants to take a legal action or not. So the data from our Dilasa centers show that only 4% of the women want to take, you know, any legal action in the cases of the domestic violence. What they want is, you know, emotional support, validation, better access to the services to cope with the violence, rather than, you know, putting the abuser, who is mostly an intimate partner or the family member within the household, to put them behind the, you know, bars. When the woman is coming to a hospital with the health consequences of violence, which is in most of the cases the first point of the contact, you know, after an episode of violence. So she might not go to the police station, but she will come to the hospital. And several times even the abuser bring the women to the hospital for seeking the health care because of the injuries or the health consequences resulting from the violence. So if there is a response mechanism established at the level of the health facility, response mechanism in terms of that, you know, the doctors and the nurses are trained to, you know, identify women facing violence based on certain signs and symptoms, right? So if a woman is walking in the emergency department and she, her head is bleeding and she is saying she slipped, you know, in the washroom or the in the kitchen, but the doctors and the nurses on the duty are, you know, they know that these kind of the injuries can't be the result of the, because of accidental. So someone has hit the women. So if they are sensitive enough to ask women that, you know, your injuries do not match with the history that you are giving, is there anything that you want to tell us, or, you know, even assuring her about confidentiality and the kind of the support services which she can access once she disclose the violence, the women will, you know, disclose violence and will seek help. So it's very important, you know, to set up a response mechanism at the level of the health facility, which is an early point of contact for the women facing violence, whereas the criminal justice system comes into the picture at a very later stage, right? And also, you know, given the dynamics of violence, both domestic violence, if you see that, you know, there's intimate partner violence, and given the socioeconomic conditions and the circumstances where the abuser is also the breadwinner of the family, it's very unlikely that women, you know, will take any legal action. What she wants is better access to the support services, including emotional support, which can be integrated within the health sector.
There were times when Rani was beaten so badly by her husband that she landed in the hospital. She says she was afraid of leaving him. While her parents said that they would support her, her brother was clear that he wouldn't. Moreover, Rani was also afraid of the social stigma, and she had no idea of how to approach the legal system. Rani was able to step into a police station and file a complaint only after she got some support. She got counseling at a center run by the Ahmedabad-based nonprofit Society for Women's Action and Training Initiative, or SWATI. I visited the counseling center and it was easy to find. It was right in between other OPDs at the Radhanpur Sub-District Hospital in Patan. After several sessions with the counselor, Rani gathered the courage to stand up to her husband. With the help of the counselors and other social workers, she filed a police complaint and initiated legal proceedings. She left her husband and took her children with her. She told me she is very happy now. Swati, Sehat and other organizations are helping hospitals use various signs and symptoms to identify and then respond to survivors of gender-based violence. When women suffer violence, it leaves a mark on their minds and bodies. This could be anything from a broken tooth or loss of appetite and anxiety. Healthcare providers can identify survivors using such signs and symptoms. Experts say this can allow the health system to extend help and referral to other services such as police, legal aid, or psychological counseling. In 2013, after the Delhi incident, India launched the Nirbhaya Fund to improve response to gender-based violence. This fund received around 12,000 crores till April 2023. However, only 40% of the amount has been used so far. One of the flagship programs of the Nirbhaya Fund was the One Stop Crisis Center, like the one in Akola. This project was supposed to get 867 crores but received around 798.8 crores. However, states used only 339 crores of this amount. Each district is supposed to have a one-stop center. So far, there are 733 of them. As per the guidelines, each center should have an administrator, two caseworkers, one paralegal personnel or lawyer, a paramedical personnel, a psychological counselor, an office assistant, three multi-purpose staff or cooks, and three security guards. At Akola, I met Dr. Aarti Kulwal.
So we were sensitized, the OBGY people, they used to get such type of mothers in the OPD.
OBGY is obstetrics and gynecology.
Initially, we used to miss many such cases of violence. Because the mothers are not very clear in their histories and they were hiding some sort of their family issues or social issues. So after their hospital stay and during discharge time, the family, after talking with the family members, we thought mothers are facing such type of issues and we are not able to get the history properly because we were not trained in obtaining such type of in-depth history of the mothers. But after going through the gender-based violence training by the UNICEF and our department, public health department, we thought there is a need to train our other staff also, the like nurses, basically casualty and OPD nurses, because mothers coming there were having a different type of histories, like history of midnight fall, why mother should fall in the midnight, why the ANC should have bleeding in midnight only.
ANC is antenatal care. Doctors speak for pregnant women.
So toothache and fracture, all types of mothers were coming, but we were initially were not trained, so we never bothered to take such type of violence-based history. But after sensitization and training, we trained our staff to interview the mother in depth.
Dr. Kurwal says that now the doctors, nurses and even the guards at her hospital are trained to identify survivors. Doctors in India are not trained in effective and empathetic communication, let alone talking to survivors of gender-based violence. They do not learn about how gender affects health outcomes. It is not in their medical curriculum. The one-stop center at the District Women's Hospital in Akola is unlike any other one-stop center. One-stop centers, which are run by the Women and Child Department under the Nirbhaya Fund, don't have health workers, nor do they work in tandem with hospitals. Most centers focus on helping survivors with getting legal aid or access to the police. However, ideally, they need to focus on counseling immediate and long-term health of the patients as well. If they do not work with the health system, they will not be able to reach survivors like Rani, who are suffering but reluctant to ask for help. Right now, one-stop centers get survivors mainly through police referrals. However, experts said that they need to actively work with all the healthcare staff and get the patients through referrals from the hospitals as well. How can we make this happen? Experts say that this can be done by making the one-stop centers an extension of health services. That is, making sure that the center staff is sensitized and working with the hospitals. This also means doctors, nurses, guards, and other hospital staff need gender sensitization training. They need to know how to spot survivors through signs and symptoms of violence, how to comfort them, how to take their history, and how to help them get access to other services through the one-stop center or counseling. Currently, some states have programs and initiatives that have opened such centers. Dilasa in Maharashtra, Mukta in Karnataka, Bhumika in Kerala, Sukoon in Haryana, and few other states have centers that are better integrated within the hospital system. Here, the health services and counseling are given the same importance as legal services. As part of these initiatives, the staff, including doctors, nurses, security, and others, go through short 2 to 3 day long training programs which sensitizes them to the needs of the women suffering from violence. Part of the training is also to identify symptoms and signs of violence, offer first-line counseling, and refer the survivors to other services. Manisha Bore, an advocate and the administrator of the One Stop Center in Akola, talks about the training
program. पेशेंट के साथ में कैसा बिहेवियर करना, मतलब वो आने के बाद में उसके साथ में वो पहले से हर्ट रहती है, उसको तुम क्या अपने तरफ से क्या मदद कर सकते हो, उसके जो उसके साथ में हुआ है वो तुम कैसे जानकारी ले सकते हो, और वही जो उसको मेडिकल जो सहायता चाहिए वो उसको तुम कैसे दे सकते हो, वो ये इंट्रोड्यूस करना डॉक्टर के सामने आप कैसे कर सकते हो, ये सब उसमें सिखाया गया था.
It was Manisha Bhore and her team who helped Pinky, the teenage survivor of abuse who I told you about earlier. They helped her to come to terms with what was happening. When I asked Pinky who she is comfortable talking to, she silently glanced at Bhore. Didi, she told me, pointing at Bhore. The one-stop center staff and the doctors comforted Pinky. They didn't let the members from the police team interrogate Pinky until she was ready to share what had happened. They also gave Pinky shelter for several days. They spoke to her parents and told them about what had happened and the next steps. Bhore explains how the training to provide gender-sensitive care has helped her. This is what they do now.
अगर उसको थोड़ा सा मतलब कोई प्रॉब्लम है तो उसको पहले यहाँ आके रिलैक्स होना, उसके बाद में उसको काउंसिलिंग जो उसका है वो उससे बताने के लिए तैयार नहीं रहती, तो उससे बात करना अच्छे से, उसको ऐसा विश्वास दिलाना कि भाई हम तुम्हारे साथ में हैं, हम तुम्हारा कुछ ऐसा गलत नहीं होने देंगे, जो कुछ भी होगा हम तेरे से अच्छा करके देंगे, वैसे उसको पहले विश्वास देना, उसके बाद में उसको काउंसिलिंग के बाद में अगर उसको कुछ कायदे का करना है, अगर केस करनी है तो उसका उसको कायदे विषय समुपदेशक करना, उसके बाद में अगर पुलिस केस करनी है तो पुलिस केस की सहायता भी उसको बताना, और अगर उसको अपने यहाँ पे रहना है तो उसके लिए शेल्टर भी हम उसको 5 दिन का प्रोवाइड कर सकते हैं, और उसको कोई भी नहीं है तो 5 दिन के बाद में अपन उसकी रहने की व्यवस्था भी महिला राज्य गृह में कर सकते हैं, और उसको ऐसे नियर अबाउट 7 जो अपने सुविधा है अपन उसको देते हैं पूरे.
Dr. Kulwal says she sees different kinds of cases of violence in their wards, and not all may present with an obvious history of physical assault.
We are getting mothers who herself told that there is a history of assault, but other mothers who were not having history of assault, but they were having a history of repeated pregnancy, short conceptional, interconceptional period. So we ask mother why she is forced to be pregnant, because the previous children are all females. So there is history of repeated pregnancy. They are bound to get pregnant because they want a male child in their family. So this is also a sort of mental as well as some sort of physical injury to the mother, causing asking mother to become forcefully carrying a pregnancy for the want of male baby. Then spontaneous abortions, why there are mothers who are coming who are unwed, or the widows are becoming pregnant. So we should intervene by asking the mothers why this happened to her, because widowed mothers are basically neglected mothers in the family. So there is, if we go in detail or in depth, we realize that this is a forceful pregnancy imposed on the widowed mother because there is physical or sexual violence history.
Dr. Kulwar talks about how staff at the hospital now looks for signs of violence when pregnant women present with symptoms such as postpartum psychosis, chronic anemia or fainting spells, or lack of weight gain, sexually transmitted diseases, eating disorders, depression and so on. Before undergoing the training, only symptoms were treated and the problem, often domestic violence or sexual violence, was not looked at holistically. The 2017 National Health Policy calls for strengthening the health system's response to gender-based violence, and I quote, ensuring that the staff have orientation to gender sensitivity issues, end quote. But experts I spoke to said there is no funding or resource allocation to execute this. Sanjeeda Arora from Sehat says that dealing with gender violence needs more strategy than just resources.
So I don't think so. It requires a lot of money. What it requires is the integration within the existing health programs, and also to build a perspective of looking at gender-based violence from the public health view. So just to give you an example, if a woman is coming for antenatal care and the doctor on the duty is observing that her weight is not increasing since last 2-3 visits, then a doctor's role does not end at, you know, prescribing her medicines again, or, you know, shouting or screaming at her that she is not taking enough care of her, that's why her weight is not increasing. So here, an inquiry by the doctor to ask women sensitively that, is there something which is wrong at home? She can, you know, tell this to the doctor. The support services are available. That should be done, so that, you know, the health of the women can also improve. So I'm just trying to say that, you know, the inquiry by the doctor falls very much within the prescribed role of the doctor, because violence is impacting the health of the women, right? Once this perspective is built within the healthcare providers, you know, the response to gender-based violence will be well integrated within the health system.
This integration has to happen with all other programs hoping to tackle gender-based violence. One of the ways of integration is the one-stop center, where survivors who come for physical issues can also be given psychosocial counseling and assisted legally if need be. I spoke to Sangeeta Rege, director of Sehat, which started the first hospital-based crisis center in 2001. This is called Dilasa and is present in 11 Mumbai hospitals today. Sehat is also a technical partner to implement similar models in other states. Sangeeta Rege says that the bulk of one-stop centers are not integrated inside the hospital, like in Akola's case.
The other bulk of one-stop centers are really around the shelter homes or inside shelter homes, which to me is a slight duplication, because most shelters in India, besides providing them accommodation and food, will also have counseling services on, you know, on the campus. So is there, there could be a challenge of duplicating that particular service. Then you have the one-stop centers, slim number, but they are in public hospitals. And there was an opportunity for what you call as an intersectoral response, where the health system proactively identifies cases of violence and makes a referral to the people who are sitting in the one-stop center. In most places, except like Akola or Goa, they work as two tangents. So the one-stop center gets a physical space and their referrals to a large extent are still from the police. Only if there is a case of rape and the doctor or a nurse feel like, you know, the person is really not talking or she needs additional support, will they make a referral to the one-stop center.
The one-stop center in Akola is an anomaly. Other centers don't directly work hand-in-hand with the hospitals, but in Akola, I found that Dr. Kulwal had ensured that the one-stop center was a part of the hospital and the resources were accessible to the patients. How did she do that? First, unlike other one-stop centers, this center was located within the hospital premises. It was located in Ward 7 and was hiding in plain sight. It looked just like another hospital ward, with a few additional facilities and staff. This inconspicuous location made it easy for survivors to access the center without attracting attention or leaving the hospital premises. Manisha Bore explained the benefits of having a one-stop center inside the hospital.
हमारी मार्गदर्शक सूचना ये कहती है कि जो OAC है वो हॉस्पिटल के 2 किलोमीटर के अंतर्गत होना चाहिए इसलिए हमारे OAC जो है हॉस्पिटल के अंतर्गत मैम ने जगह दी है इसलिए हॉस्पिटल में चालू है और इसका हमको बहुत सारा बेनिफिट मिलता है इसलिए कि जो हमारे पास में प्रवेशिता आती उनको अगर मेडिकल सहायता होना तो हॉस्पिटल में होने के बावजूद हम उसको जल्दी से जल्दी प्रोवाइड कर सकते हैं वो और जैसे कि एक आदि आती है उसको अबॉर्शन करना है तो उसको उधर से इधर लाओ इधर से उधर घुमाओ इसके बजाय वो मतलब हमारे बीच में ऐसा वो जो पेशेंट को देने के लिए सहायता होती है उसमें दिरंगाई नहीं होती वो जल्दी से हो जाता है इसलिए हमको इसमें से बहुत सारा बेनिफिट मिलता है हॉस्पिटल में होने की वजह से मैम अपना जो सेंटर है वार्ड नंबर 7 है विंग बी वार्ड नंबर 7 ऐसा अपन पहले सब पोस्टर बना के रखे हैं सब हॉस्पिटल में लगाए हैं और उसकी अवेयरनेस भी हुई है और एक हमारी जो केस वर्कर है उसको हम सवेरे जब ओपीडी चालू होती तब नीचे भेजते हैं ऐसा उनके साथ में कोऑर्डिनेशन करना उनके नाम वगैरह पूछना सिर्फ ऐसे पूछने से ऐसा समझ में आता है थोड़ा भार कि कुछ तो भी है बोलते समय उसको समझ में आ जाता है कि कुछ ना कुछ दिक्कत है तो उसको थोड़ा सा बोलना कि ऐसा ऐसा सेंटर है ऊपर वार्ड नंबर 7 में आप वहां आके आपको अगर मदद चाहिए तो आप वहां के मदद ले सकते हैं तो फिर उसको बोल के वो ऐसा ऊपर आती है वार्ड नंबर 7 में और उसको अपन मदद करते हैं
अनलाइक अकोला इन अदर डिस्ट्रिक्ट्स सच एज बैंगलोर दिल्ली और मुंबई एंड इवन इन सम रूरल एरियाज आई फाउंड दैट द वन स्टॉप सेंटर्स वर लोकेटेड अवे फ्रॉम द हॉस्पिटल दिस मेड इट डिफिकल्ट फॉर द वुमेन टू एक्सेस द सेंटर्स एक्सपर्ट्स टोल्ड मी दिस ऑफ्टन मेक्स सर्वाइवर्स कॉन्शियस एज दे डोंट वॉन्ट टू बी सीन एंटरिंग अ Nirbhaya सेंटर The word Nirbhaya, unfortunately, has become synonymous with rape or sexual violence. Women want confidentiality. They don't want to be seen accessing Nirbhaya centers by their members of the family, community, and definitely not by their husbands. However, Akola's one-stop center is soon moving outside the hospital. When I visited in June, a dedicated one-stop center building was being constructed right next to the district hospital. Manisha Pore and her team will be shifting their operations here soon. The new building is not really far away, but the patients have to get out of the hospital building and then walk into another one. Women may need to ask for directions, or their family members accompanying them may see them enter this premises. Will this make it harder for patients to seek help?
अगर मतलब देखो हॉस्पिटल में है तो महिला नीचे अपने चेकअप के लिए आती है कोई किसी का पेट दर्द रहता किसी को मिसकैरेज है अगर पहले से ही 3-4 बेटियां है तो चौथी बार भी वो अबॉर्शन करने के लिए आती है, तो ऐसे ऐसे उसमें दिक्कत आती है। स्टाफ अगर ढूंढ के लाता है कि ऐसा कुछ प्रॉब्लम है, किसी का दांत टूटा हुआ है, किसी का हाथ फ्रैक्चर है, वो घर में गिर के ऐसा हुआ है, तो ऐसी महिला को देखने के बाद में वो तुरंत अपने पास में उसको अपन मतलब इमरजेंसी में उसको सेवा दे सकते हैं, इसलिए हॉस्पिटल में है, इसलिए हमारे लिए वो अच्छा है। अगर यहाँ से भी हम अब ये बहुत दूर तो नहीं है, पर यहाँ से पीछे की साइड में ही बिल्डिंग हो रही है, फिर भी हमको वहां से दिक्कत जाएगी, यहाँ वहां से पेशेंट यहाँ पे लाना, यहाँ से पेशेंट को अगर मालूम है नहीं है हमारा स्टाफ इधर आता है, इनका स्टाफ भेजता है, ये दिक्कत तो आएगी आगे।
The lack of integration of the health systems with the one-stop centers is a lost opportunity, Sangeeta Regey from Sehat says. It also reflects the lack of understanding of the needs of women. There needs to be a systemic change from looking at violence as a social issue to an health issue. Thank you. This is Mahima Jain for the Suno India Show.